Parshas Balak. There is, in this week's parasha, I think, a very important lesson to be learned. It's one of the themes, I think, of this week's parasha. And let's begin with the pasuk in Perek Chof Beis, Pasuk Lamed Dalet. After all the extraordinary events with Bilam and his donkey, eventually the Malach Hashem, is visible to Bilam. Upon which he says the following, Vayomer Bilam el Malach Hashem. So Bilam says to the Malach, and he says, Chotasi, I have sinned. Why have I sinned? Ki lo yodati, because I did not know that you were standing in front of me all along. There I was thinking that my donkey was just playing up. I didn't realize that in fact the Malach was here all along, and therefore, Chotasi, I have sinned. I want to just be muted, please.
Can you mute the mic?
Yeah. Yeah, just a second.
Phone, it's the phone call in there.
Ravram, you're muting everyone?
Yeah, I'm muting everyone.
You got it.
Okay, we continue. So, the obvious question is, how does Bilam turn around and say, I have sinned because I did not know that the Malach was standing in front of me? Well, if you didn't know, then that's not a sin. To the contrary, it only would have been a sin, l'chayra, had he indeed known that the Malach was there in front of him, I would nonetheless have ignored him. But doesn't that seem to be a bit of a contradiction to say that I sinned because I didn't know the Malach was there? Well, if you didn't know, then it's not a sin. This is the question asked by many of the Mefarshim on the Pasuk. So let me read to you the words of the Shloah HaKadosh. The Shloah HaKadosh asks this question. Im lo yoda, if he didn't know, ma chotos, so what was the sin? Surely ignorance is bliss. You know what the Shloah answers? Elo. Ha'odom ma shahoya ro'u loy leida v'lohovin. If it's something that you should have thought about and you didn't, then that itself is considered an aveira. Is a tremendous yesod of the Shloah. The Malbim says exactly the same. In other words, ignorance is actually not always bliss. What Bilam was being rebuked for, and he himself admitted, that I didn't realize the Malach was there. Do you know why that's a sin? Because indeed I should have understood that the Malach was indeed there. If I only would have stopped to think and try and understand these extraordinary events. The donkey veers into the field, the donkey rams his foot against the wall, the donkey stops. It's so inexplicable. Had he only paused for one moment, then indeed he would have come to that conclusion, the inescapable conclusion, clearly that there's something surreal. There is obviously a Malach over here, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is sending me a message that I'm not supposed to go and curse Klal Yisrael. So when Bilam says, I didn't realize that you were there, he says to the Malach, and that in fact is the Aveira. The Aveira is that I didn't realize, because you should have realized. Indeed, you should have realized. And this is the principle that we would like to discuss a little bit this evening. Because if we fast forward the clock to a couple of weeks in Parshas Matos, where it says there the tragic events with Midyan the Benois Midyan, how they caused Klal Yisrael to sin. Klal Yisrael are then dispatched to go and wage war and take revenge. And strangely, inexplicably, they return with the Benois Midyan. Vayiktsoif Moshe. Moshe gets very angry and he says, I don't understand. They were the ones who caused the great tragedy in the first place. Why on earth did you not kill them? What's the point of bringing them back? They caused the whole problem in the first place. So the Sefer HaChassidim, one of the Gedolei HaRishonim, asks, one moment, look carefully in the Psukim and you will notice that actually they were never specifically instructed to kill the women of Midian. So why was Moshe Rabbeinu so angry? Why didn't you kill them? Because you never told us to. Says the Sefer HaChassidim, they should indeed have understood. Afal pi sheloi nitzave, even though there was no clear instruction, do you know why they were to held accountable? Al sheloi som al liboi. Why didn't they think about it? Why didn't they understand that that must surely have been the will of Hashem to kill the Benois Midyan and not to bring them back alive? Says the Sefer HaChassidim, I can prove my point to you. Where is it? How do I know that even if HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't instruct so clearly, but if it's to be understood, then you're held accountable, and you know what he says? I have a raya from Parashas Balaam. After all, the Malach turns round to Bilam and says, why did you hit your donkey 3 times? What a peculiar question. Why did I hit my donkey 3 times? Surely he deserves it. I'm a human being, he's an animal, he's got to obey instruction, and he didn't, so surely I have every right to hit him. What was the Malach's complaint? Says the Sefer HaChassidim, listen to these words, Elo shehoyo loy lachshoyf. He should have thought, Shemo loy birtsoin HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Maybe this is not in accordance with the will of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, she'akalaleim, that I should go and curse them. Ignorance is not bliss. If you only would have realized, if you only would have stopped to think that surely this is not the Rotson of Hashem, then indeed you had no business hitting your donkey 3 times. So the Sefer HaChassidim is really laying down this principle for us. That even on occasion, when something is not actually stated clearly, but if at the end of the day, that is the Rotson of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and it is something that is self-evident, if only you stop to think, then you will be held accountable despite the fact there was no clear instruction to that effect. In fact, in Parashas Balak, in our very parasha, if any of you have the Chumash in front of you, if you look in Perek Chof Beis, Posuk Yud Ches, it says there that Bilam was initially invited to come and curse Klal Yisrael. And he says, I'm very, very sorry. He sends to the messengers of Balak. Now listen to his words very carefully. He says, Loi uchal, I am unable, la'avoir es pi Hashem, to transgress, violate the mouth of Hashem. So at first glance, it sounds like this is Bilam HaTzadik. Why do we call him Bilam HaRasha? He said quite clearly, Loi uchal la'avoir es pi Hashem. I don't want to transgress the mouth of Hashem. Says Rabbi Chanan Wasserman, Zecher Tzadik Livracha. No, listen carefully to the words. He did not say that I don't want to transgress the Rotzein of Hashem. He says, I don't want to transgress S.P. Hashem. S.P. Hashem means I listen only to the exact wording that HaKadosh Baruch Hu enunciates. Nothing beyond that. And that's what Bilam was intimating. Bilam was clearly saying, I don't want to transgress the word of Hashem, but the Rotzon of Hashem, I'm not in the slightest bit interested. This is the Yesod that we see in countless places. That even if, on occasion, there is something which is specifically not stated by HaKadosh Baruch Hu that it's to be outlawed, but if nonetheless it is self-evident, it is something that can be understood with a little bit of hisboinenus, with understanding, then you are held accountable nonetheless. Let's take this a little bit further. There is the general hisboinenus. A person can stop and think to himself, what does HaKadosh Baruch Hu want from me? HaKadosh Baruch Hu clearly did not want Bilam to curse Klal Yisrael. HaKadosh Baruch Hu clearly wanted Klal Yisrael to kill the Benois Midyan. Bilam had no business hitting the donkey. But there is a further point, and that is, besides for the general hisboinenus, what is it that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants me to do, and what is it that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants me to avoid? But there is a more specific hisboinenus. Hisboinenus means to understand, to think about. And that is, HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not send us emails, or letters, or text messages. And yet, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is talking to us the whole time. In order to hear, appreciate what it is that He's saying to us, we have to be a misboinen. We have to stop and think. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu would send us emails, indeed it would be very easy. You just open the email and it's all explicit. But that's not the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu runs His world. Rather, He sends us messages in the form of circumstances. We have to stop and think, what's happening to us? What's happening to me? What's happening to my family? What is HaKadosh Baruch Hu saying to me? That requires hisboinenus. Now, listen to the most remarkable observation of the Chofetz Chaim. If ever you get an aliyah to the Torah, as we well know, you will open the Sefer Torah, and one of the first things that we notice is that the Sefer Torah is full of gaps. What we call sukkos and stumos. Open gaps, closed gaps, but gaps nonetheless. Said the Chofetz Chaim, if you look in Parashas Bilam, Parashas Balak, you will see that throughout the whole story of Bilam, there are no gaps in the Sefer Torah. It's one long narrative, no gaps whatsoever. Why is that? So the Chofetz Chaim says a remarkable explanation. Why are there ever gaps in the Sefer Torah? Why can't it just read as one long text? Why the gaps in the Sefer Torah? So if you look at Rashi in the beginning of Vayikra, do you know what Rashi tells us? Litein revach lemoisha lehisboinein bein parasha leparasha. These gaps represented pauses. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu was delivering the Torah to Moshe Rabbeinu, Moshe Rabbeinu needed, as it were, to pause, to be misboinein, bein parasha le parasha, bein inyan le inyan. After all, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was unloading the entire Torah. 248 mitzvahs, 365 averas, billions of details. The gaps in the Sefer Torah represent Moshe Rabbeinu's pausing to be misboinen, to stop and think. And the one thing that Bilam did not do in this entire story was to stop and think.
And that's why there are no gaps.
Because these gaps precisely teach us that you're supposed to stop and think. What is HaKadosh Baruch Hu saying to me over here? What does he mean? How do I translate circumstances in my life? What is the message that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is relaying to me? That needs hisboinenus. That needs, that requires necessarily that we stop and we press pause and we think. And that's the one thing that Bilam did not do. He continued on his mission relentlessly, blissfully unaware of what it was that HaKadosh Baruch Hu really wanted from him. And I actually found in one of the Rishonim al HaTorah in the Sfarnu points this out time and time and time again. On that pasuk that we mentioned before, when the Malach says, "Why on earth did you hit your donkey?" says the Sfarnu three words. Hoya lecha l'sha'er. You should have estimated, you should have calculated that this is not what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted. Later on in Pasuk Lamed Gimel, Hoya lecha lachshoy. You should have thought. In that pasuk that we began with, I sinned because I did not know that the Malach was there. V'hoya lu lachush lezeh. Why didn't I realize? Why didn't I suspect? Bilam himself admitted that his sin was by virtue of the fact that he did not stop to think. Had he only done so for one moment, and he would have thought to himself, one moment, this donkey of mine has been a loyal, faithful donkey all its career, has always obeyed instructions immaculately, perfectly. Once up, you can slip. Twice, three times, time and time again in the most peculiar manner. Clearly there's a message over here. Clearly HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not want me to be successful in my mission. Hoya loy lachshoy, you should have thought, you should have been a misvoinein. For not being a misvoinein, he was held accountable, and he himself admitted that he was considered a sinner. And this, of course, is the way of Rasha'im. Because after all, Rasha'im are not in the slightest bit interested in what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is trying to say to them. It doesn't concern them in the least what is the Ratzon of Hashem, and that's why they don't think. Do you know, the story is told, the Chofetz Chaim was once learning the parasha. He was learning the parasha in Parashas Vayera of the Makos, Dam, Sardeya, Kinim, one after another. And there was a Talmud who was observing. And he saw the following. He saw that the Chofetz Chaim all of a sudden stopped. And he seemed very, very perturbed. And he got up from his seat. And he paced his room up and down. And the Talmud overheard the Chofetz Chaim say, "I don't understand. Vos hot paroi getracht." Which translates as, "What did paroi think? What did paroi think?" In other words, the Chofetz Chaim was so bothered that there is no simple translation. There is no simple explanation in his parasha. How do you possibly rationalize? How on earth can you explain all the water in your country turning to dam precisely after Moshe Rabbeinu has just predicted that's what would happen? How do you explain away Tzfardeya, Kinim, Oroiv, Debet? There must be an explanation. Vosot Paroi Getracht. What was Paroi thinking? And the Chofetz Chaim was very disturbed. I don't have a pshat in the pasuk. When all of a sudden, the Talmud saw the Chofetz Chaim stopped, and he seemed at ease, and he calmed down, and he sat down. And the Talmud overheard the Chofetz Chaim say, "Ah, I've got it now. Weist ois," he said, "it would seem to be the Paroi hot nisht getracht.
obviously Paroi didn't think at all. That was the only way the Chofetz Chaim could understand this parasha. Paroi hat nicht getracht. He did not stop to think, what is the message over here? What does Dam mean? What does Tzvardeya mean? What does Kini mean? What is the message that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is trying to teach me? As far as the Chofetz Chaim was concerned, had he only stopped for one moment to think, he obviously would have reached that inescapable conclusion that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants me to release his nation. So how could he possibly have indeed reached any other conclusion? And the answer is, Paroi hat nicht getracht. He didn't reach any conclusion because he didn't bother thinking. Why did he not bother thinking? Because it didn't concern him. What is it that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is teaching me? What is it that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is saying to me? It's of no interest to me whatsoever, says Paroi. Exactly the same as Bilam. Do you know what the flip side of the coin is? The flip side of the coin is, we see countless examples of Gedolei Olam, to the contrary, who are always on the lookout, who are always listening carefully, who are always being misbehaving. What is it that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is saying to me? None greater than Moshe Rabbeinu. His first encounter with the Rabbeinu Shel Olam is the burning bush. And the Torah writes that he saw this bush and there was something very peculiar. What was peculiar about it? That it was being burned and yet not consumed. And what does the Pasuk say? Moshe Rabbeinu stopped and he asked the question, Madua lo yivar hasneh? Why is the bush not being consumed? So he went back to investigate. There must be a message. And indeed there was. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was there, teaching him that Klal Yisrael too, they might be burned, but they won't be consumed. That's the way of the tzaddikim. What about Rabbi Akiva, the great Tanna? What was his path to greatness? One rock with a hole in it. As Chazal tell us famously, he sees the rock, he sees the hole, he sees the dripping water. But it's probably safe to say that thousands before him and thousands after him saw the same rock. And what happened to them? We have no idea. No records. But Rabbi Akiva stopped and he was a misbeinein. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu was organized that I should end up right here watching this rock and its hole, then there must be a message. There must be a message. And indeed there was. If the soft water can penetrate the hard rock, then clearly Torah can penetrate my heart. And it did. And he became the great Rabbi Akiva. So he was a misbeinein. It's reported that the Chofetz Chaim, when he used to hear a clap of thunder, he used to stop and he used to say in Yiddish, "Oi, vos vil de tata? What does our father want?" Because the Chofetz Chaim was a misbeinein. And if there's a clap of thunder, there must be a message. I used to learn many years ago with a chavrusa of mine who was a great nephew of the Manchester Rosh Hashiva, Rav Yehuda Zeiv Segal Zeicher Tzadik Livracha. And my chavrusa told me the following story. He said on one occasion, the man of the Rosh Hashiva brought a Talmud of his into his kitchen. And there on the stove was one of these old-fashioned kettles. The water was boiling. The steam was pouring out, whistling. And the Rosh Hashiva said to the Talmud, he said, "Tell me, what do you see?" "What do I see?" "Not much, kettle." And he asked him again, he says, "No, tell me, what do you see?" He didn't understand what the Rosh Hashiva wanted. I see a kettle, I see steam. He asked him for a third time, what do you see? And he says, I give up. You're obviously trying to teach me something. Said the Rosh Hashiva, look at this kettle with a steam pouring out with great force. It's not exactly genius to work out that if that steam is pouring out with such energy, it could probably be used to cause a locomotive engine to run along some railway tracks. And yet thousands and thousands and tens of thousands of people over the generations, they had their kettle boiling on the fire, and it took one person, Stevenson, to realize that you could use this steam to power an engine. And he created the rocket, the very first steam engine. Said the Rosh Hashiva to his Talmid, what do you think was the difference between Stevenson and the tens of thousands who came before him? The Rosh Hashiva said, I'll tell you. It's not that he was a bigger genius than all of them. It's not that he was a greater scientist than all of them. Do you know what the difference is? Said the Rosh Hashiva. They did not stop to think, and he did stop to think. That is the entire difference. They all saw a kettle and then moved on in life. He saw a kettle but did not move on. He stopped to be a mitzvah. What can this teach us? How can this be used? What can I learn from over here? The Maseilas Yesharim really sums all of this up in five words. And he says, Beli hisboinemus, without thinking, loy yastig, you will never reach chassidus. You will never reach chassidus. A person has to be a misboine. Bilam was not a misboine. That's why there's no gaps in the parasha. Paroi was not a misboine. Eot nisht getracht. And the other side of the coin is, Moshe Rabbeinu stopped to think when he saw the burning bush. Rabbi Akiva stopped to think when he saw the hole in the rock. The Chofetz Chaim stopped to think every time there was a clap of thunder. And the man Shir Rosh Hashiva was teaching us, all of us ought to stop and think whenever we see even such mundane activities as a kettle boiling. This is really the aside of this week's parasha. A person has to listen to his messages. And in order to listen to one's messages, one has to be a misboine. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is bombarding us on a constant basis with messages. But we have to open our eyes, and we have to open our minds. One has to be a misboine. One can see a rock in a hole and just walk past like many others did. One can see a burning bush and move on as if nothing has happened. Because that's exactly what Bilam did. He sees a donkey acting in a remarkable way and never stopped to think. Just like Paro. Listen to your messages. Hisboinemus. And if we can only say in conclusion, if ever we lived in a period in which we really indeed ought to be listening to our messages, then that period is right now. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is sending us messages every day, every hour, it's almost every minute. And the question becomes, did I stop to think this week what it was that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was teaching me this week, not last week, this week? Because if I didn't, then why on earth did HaKadosh Baruch Hu extend Corona for another week? Obviously, for me to learn something this week. This week. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was teaching me a new message that he didn't teach me the week before or the week before that. There must be a brand new message this week and today. One has to be a misboine. There has to have these gaps. Because if not, then it flies upon our heads. If a person is on the lookout, like Moshe Rabbeinu, like Reb Akiva, like Gedolei Yisrael, the Chofetz Chaim and the Manish Rosh Hashiva, then all of us need to stop and think periodically, what is it that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is saying to me with regard to my Limud Torah, with regard to my Tfilos, with regard to my Chesed, with regard to all of my Avodas Hashem? He is talking to me in the most emphatic fashion. The question is, am I listening? That's really the state of this parasha. Because if indeed we're not, then quite frankly, we're no better than Bilam and Paro. We would like to be Moshe Rabbeinu and Reb Akiva type Yid. We would like to be the Chofetz Chaim and the Manish Rosh Hashiva type Yid, when indeed that we can say, ignorance is not bliss. It's absolutely not bliss. To the contrary, we're in a constant state of being misboining. We are forever listening to our messages, not only the Pi Hashem, but also the Rotzen of Hashem. What is it that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is saying to me, personally? What is it that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is saying to my family, not somebody else's family? That is the lesson of this week's parasha. And indeed, if we indeed, all of us, listen to our messages, internalize them, actualize them, make them very real, then indeed HaKadosh Baruch Hu will say they listen to their messages. There's no need anymore to continue bombarding them with them. And Be'ezus Hashem, Corona will be a thing of the past. I wish you all a very good Shabbos.